At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The last thing they saw was someone they trusted. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
Sean Diddy Combs, it's been an interesting week. At least I'll say this as of the, I don't know, how many months have we been following this now? Many. It's been kind of a slow week for at least by the time we're recording this. Who knows? Everything will break between now and then. But there hasn't been a lot of new allegations. Maybe they took some time off for the election so everyone could go vote. I don't know. But there has been some interesting pieces that have come out. More so in terms of what it took to get into a Diddy party, a Diddy freak-off party. We've all heard of the term NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, and they're used all the time in business and apparently used all the time at Diddy sex parties, allegedly as well. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Welcome. NDAs. I mean, we knew that these things existed. I guess the question is, should there be times in your life where you're like, they want an NDA to go to the party? They want an NDA? Like, should there be just times where it's like, maybe I shouldn't participate if this one requires an NDA?
You see my face scrunching down on this? Yeah. It's like my nonverbal's like, huh.
Yeah.
So I really took note of that and was really thinking about this. First of all, as I sometimes always have to do, is caveat, I am not a lawyer, legal beagle, and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give my optic and my conjecture on these things and then my input. And first of all, NDAs are really, I sign them all the time as well. You know, if you're going to work on a project, you know, like Tony, you and I, if we, you know, just doing a show together or doing a collaboration, something, we'll sign an NDA for each other so that we can keep our information private. So someone else can't scoop us. Someone else can't take our ideas and run with it before we have time to. Corporations do it all the time to prevent corporate espionage or insider threat or things like that. Individuals, it's interesting, as I saw the argument defense was making, saying that celebrities do this all the time to maintain privacy and things like that. So there's two things that came up with that in my mind. Is one, it's something my wife said to me all the time in the FBI. I am a... if anyone listening and watching kind of gets this from me, I was always kind of this gray line kind of guy. If you're going to be mission focused, mission oriented, you have a stack of rules. And I've said this before, if they want to get you, with so many rules out there, they can find a way to get you.
Yeah.
So the job is to do the mission and do it in a way that inspires someone to not want to get you, which means that I knew where the gray line was and I always tried to ride that gray line. But here was my fail safe. And this is a fail safe that I think is important to have in every aspect of life. And I'm going to circle it back to NDAs in here in a second. And that is with my boss. If I wanted to do something that was gray line, my test was this. If I was trying to hide exactly how I was doing it from my boss, I probably shouldn't be doing it.
True.
If there's someone or something I'm going to go outside and do in my private life, if I'm a little shameful, again, we'll use that word shame because shame really is a powerful motivator for people. If I'm ashamed to share it with someone, if I'm ashamed to have the transparency with my loving critics in my life, I most likely shouldn't do it. And so with the NDA, if you are so ashamed of what's going on in a party that requires people to not share it with others, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. So that's my first thing is like, that's an odd request because this, it's not like you have proprietary information.
Yeah.
This is just like a party. If you're doing things that require an NDA, maybe you should think twice about what's going on at that party. And then the second part of that, what the fence was saying was that this is common for other celebrities and things. Okay. I want to know exactly what celebrities have their clients and their party goers sign NDAs. And then let's take a look at their life behavior arcs.
Yeah.
Because maybe there's a pattern of other morons out there too. So I find the whole concept of an NDA for going to someone's house and going to a party just a little off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't, obviously, we don't go to these parties. It did make me wonder a little bit to play devil's advocate and think, well, if Martha Stewart has a big bash, is there an NDA there just so people aren't taking, pictures privately of the house or exposing her new recipes or whatever, whatever it may be.
I think that's a fine example.
Yeah,
pictures, no photographs. makes complete sense
because
that is privacy. But, to not be able to say you went someplace and things like that, it's like collecting cell phones before people go.
That's sure, weird.
I completely see that.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets to be a bit much, I think. And now the fact that
for
we know
years,
the fact that we know what's on the other side of that NDA in this case, I think, is what makes it far worse. If we didn't know what the alleged things are on the other side of that NDA, of what was actually going on and why that was being signed, we may be questioning, well, why did they need an NDA? We know. We know why they needed an NDA. Let's talk about this Courtney Burgess for a second. This is the individual who first came out claiming to have the manuscript of Kim Porter's alleged book. It was dismissed right away. People saying, oh, this is BS. It's not true. Even her ex of Diddy even came out and said, this Albie Shore, the singer, came out and said, I don't think this is hers either. So yet a lot of people saying, we don't believe this is legit. But then, surprise, surprise, he's sitting there talking with the grand jury. It went beyond the civil. It went straight to the grand jury conversation where he's having these conversations with them. If he was so not credible, would he be talking to the grand jury? How much vetting would have been done, I guess, on the part of Homeland Security and whoever is investigating this before that person ends up sitting with a grand jury sharing what they claim to be?
You know, I'm not quite sure how much energy someone is or isn't going to put into it before they go to a grand jury. But I think just the totality of the individual and looking at their credibility from other things and events they've done in life is what's going to rule and determine whether it's going to happen or not. You know, it's interesting. What really popped in my mind as you're going through this entire scenario where people are dismissing the claim, dismissing the manuscript because it's Diddy. You know what? Who really popped in my mind front and foremost was Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Mm-hmm. So here's a woman claiming all these bad things, that were done to her by the president of the United States. But because he's popular, they blamed her rather than saying, hey, maybe Clinton did something wrong here. And so same thing here. It kind of struck me the same thing. We all love Diddy, so she's wrong.
Yeah.
In the things that she's claiming it did. I don't know if it's a stretch or not in the comparison, but that's just really what popped in my mind.
Yeah, it's bizarre on this. Courtney, he claims to have now also have video evidence. He beyond the book, he claims he has, I believe, 11 terabytes. Don't quote me on that, but it's several of data on a flash drive of the actual Diddy parties. Claims that he was given this by Kim Porter before she passed away, along with the manuscript. So this is kind of more of a procedural question than anything else. If he's claiming this, and he had a little press conference, did interviews, everything after he was interviewed by the grand jury, saying that he has all these things. If he's saying these things out loud, that he has this sort of material, do the feds have it at this point? I mean, if you're out there claiming this and you were just literally witnessed by a federal grand jury, I'm going to assume they want to see what you have.
Yeah, and I think claiming you have the video evidence, they're going to have to see that video evidence, and I think that's where the credibility is going to come into, because it's no longer just hearsay. It's no longer someone's opinion. It's something, you know, someone can see on video, because this is what we've been waiting for the entire time, is I want to see videos and pictures from all these claims. And I think that's where the credibility comes from, is just you got more data points to go on. So I would think that they would have that in their possession already. The problem, though, is that you don't know that just because of the volume of investigation that's going on with a lot of people and a lot of claims.
I guess that's the big question, is this real? Does he really have this? I mean, it's not like we're going to hear from the Fed saying, yeah, it's true, he's got it, we got it right here in our possession, until an actual superseding indictment were to come down. We're just going to have to kind of wonder, I guess, if this is real. But the fact that a federal grand jury listened to him, I mean, I'm assuming they vet a little bit before you bring somebody in for the grand jury, just to make sure that nobody's wasting their time.
You would think so. Yeah. I mean, I've never sat a grand jury, so it's not my area, but typically they, because of, again, when you're dealing with a volume of investigation that they are, they're going to do their best to not waste resources and time to bring someone in that's not credible. The only pushback, again, you know, being the devil's advocate, is that saying you have video in this kind of circumstance does continue to sway that public opinion. You know, like even just you and I, you know, we're having our own confirmation bias. So yeah, he must have that. Well, we're not saying that, but you know, we're thinking like, well, if he's got video, it's just more damning evidence against Diddy. And so whether it's true or not, it's still adding to that public perception of wrongdoing. So I would hope that they did do due diligence and that they actually have seen the video, because that's what it's going to take.
Because at this point, had he not been sat in front of a grand jury and he just started claiming, I got this 11 terabyte video, and he didn't produce it, I don't think anyone would believe him. But the fact it was in front of the grand jury, this claim was made, that it would be there. How does that work in terms of a grand jury? Let's say they have this evidence. I mean, is a grand jury literally watching the video, or is that more so the investigators that are like, okay, we'll take it from here, we can confirm it exists, here's a, I don't know. How do the investigators handle that to go through if they do need to make superseding indictments? Does the grand jury actually need to watch this thing and go, yeah, it's real?
I think it's going to depend on case by case. Again, you're going to have to go to your lawyer experts on this one, because I think the grand jury just really weighs in. Because remember, they're not the investigators.
No,
they're just saying, do we have enough here to keep moving forward?
Sure, sure.
It's the investigators that are really the ones that are dissecting that.
Yeah.
And they're not even, it's interesting, they don't really do the dissection necessarily themselves. It's really governed by the prosecuting lawyers. Mm-hmm. Because the prosecuting lawyers are the ones that are directing the investigation. Because a lot of times, a lot of people think that the investigators are the ones leading the investigation. No, they're really the screwdrivers and wrenches of the lawyers, the prosecutors, for the investigation. Because it's really them that are driving what they will need to indict. It's what they're going to need to prosecute and be successful in that prosecution. And especially when you're dealing at the federal level, these federal prosecutors, it's a very, very high bar. They do not like bringing a case before a jury or a judge, or even going for any kind of plea deals without solid, in their minds, 100%, we got this. And we can see this in these other cases that you and I cover. I mean, you know, just look at Delphi or up in Boston or any of these other things that are handled by locals or states. These are not solid cases. These are kind of all over the place and haphazard to you and I as we're doing our due diligence, you know, covering them. But when you start dealing at the federal level, federal prosecutors are so inundated with a lot of requests to bring things to prosecution, mm-hmm. that they're very selective on what they take. And also their bar is extremely high. That's why people always will criticize like the FISA court, you know, on my side of mm-hmm. counterintelligence, that it's just a rubber stamp, or the federal judges are just a rubber stamp. No, it's actually because a prosecutor will not bring something to the judge to sign unless it is like 1,000,000% yeah. foolproof, because you should see the process it goes through to even get there. So long way, long narrative I gave you to kind of bring you back to that. I would think, because of the way the prosecution handles these things, that it would not have gone before a grand jury at the federal level like that without it being solid.
Yeah, I would think so. And if that is in fact how everything went down, then I think there's probably a lot more weight on Courtney Burgess's material, including that manuscript. If it's going that far, and if they're looking at it that closely, not just, I mean, it's expected the Diddy camp is going to say this is bull BS and all that, right. But you had some people that weren't in the Diddy camp pointing that out, which was also kind of made it go, okay, maybe this is one of those things that really just is slipping in here and somebody's making some claims.
You know, it's the law of probabilities, really. If you look at the number of parties Diddy's had over the years and the number of people attending those parties, the likelihood, even with NDAs, the likelihood of someone not being able to capture some of that against their will, against the procedures and policies of Diddy's, is extremely low. Of course it's going to be captured. And so that's what they've been hunting for. And also the feds don't do fishing expeditions. They don't, mm-hmm. they don't throw something at the wall and see if it's going to stick.
Yeah.
They have it before they do it. And so I'm pretty solid that this is true and real what they have.
Yeah. And that right there, what you just said, where they don't do fishing expeditions, that when I saw his name being brought up in that, I was like, oh, holy shit. Like, I wasn't expecting him.
Yeah.
I really wasn't. I just thought this is somebody trying to make, I don't know. We'll see where that goes. If they're superseding indictments, which there likely will be, we'll probably hear about it. We can probably connect those dots to go, maybe he did have something. One more piece on this, and it's kind of lighthearted, and I think we could use it. The diet. There was Diddy's 55th birthday the other day in prison. There was a short video that was released by his kids with him on the phone. It was just saying, thank you for wishing me a happy birthday, blah, 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 blah. But he was like, well, what did he eat? What did he get in prison for his birthday? And I got to say, I was expecting it to be, you know, like what you see in the movies, like slop on a plate. But maybe it does look like slop on a plate, but I'm telling you, in text, it looks better than most of the things I have in my kitchen right now. So for breakfast, birthday breakfast, selection of fruit, oatmeal, whole wheat bread, biscuits, oven brown potatoes, spreads like jelly and margarine. They can also enjoy a breakfast cake. There's no description on what the breakfast cake actually is. Lunch, Southwest chicken wraps, chicken tacos, cheese pizza, 3-bean chili. Sides include green beans, rice, salsa, and coleslaw. And the meal comes with fruit. Dinner includes turkey roast with rice, green peas, gravy, chicken, or tofu rice with black beans and carrots. Typically no dessert on Mondays, which was where Diddy's fell. Okay. Sounds lovely on paper. What does it resemble any of those items once it reaches a plate?
I don't know. All I'm thinking is, as you're reading through this menu, I'm thinking about my school menu growing up in elementary school.
It's better than that. Like, and the thing is, a lot of institutions, a lot of schools and prisons in this country get their food from the same place. It's often the same stuff. It's just, you know, one is portioned for children, one is portioned for inmates. So I'm like, this doesn't sound half bad, really. I'm like, it's more of a balanced meal than I eat most of the days of the week.
Except that everything you just described came out of one can. It got flopped on a tray.
That might be the difference. So as I'm sitting over here criticizing it, somebody will give me a picture of it. It looks just like a can. It looks like one of those canned cranberries, but it has chicken, tacos, pizza, birthday, like, breakfast cake in it, and God knows what else.
I'd want to see pictures of it.
Yeah.
For one thing. And the other thing too, so I do a lot of backpacking.
Yeah.
And I take a lot of backpacking food out with me. And it's got all these great descriptions too. It all tastes the same. It all tastes exactly. And I just got done reading another great book. As you know, I read too much.
Yeah.
This one's called Madhouse at the End of the Earth.
Okay.
And this was the one of the very first polar explorations, so Antarctica. This was done on the ship called the Belgica. This is before Ernest Shackleton got trapped in the ice pack. So this is late 1800s, right around 1900. Belgium crew went down there, and they're even back then. So they had all the highest quality provisions at the time, all this great canned food. And yeah. They get trapped in the ice pack. And the first thing they did was they wanted to kill the cook because it all tasted exactly the same. They tried to vary up the meal. Well, we got this kind of packaged meatballs here. We got this. And they said, it all tastes like shit. It all tastes exactly the same. So when you're reading through Diddy's menu, I thought of my elementary school menu that we used to get on a sheet and is on a grid for all the days because I'm much, much older. And it all read very beautifully, you know, fruit cup parfait. Yeah.
I remember that. I remember looking at that sheet on the fridge before going into school in the morning going, oh, that sounds great. And you're kind of excited and lunch comes around and it's like, ooh, really weird definition of pizza here.
And it was like the Gino's pizza. It was great though. It was a square, you know, they had the cookie sheets,
big rectangle.
Square pizza. You got square pizza. And the only other thing that came that was ever good on that thing was the peanut butter treats.
I gotta say, I've even Googled this. I'm like, where can I buy elementary school pizza from the 1990s? Because I enjoyed it, but it didn't taste like pizza. It was like a whole, to this day, I've never had anything quite the same, but it had a unique flavor and the cheese had its interesting. It was like a different thing, like eating astronaut food.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because it was so cheap and because I had no money growing up, so pizza was such a rare thing anyway, that any kind of semblance of it. And then you used to swap for it and try to steal people's pizza.
Yes.
Boy, what a digression we did. But yeah, so Diddy's day in jail. I'd be curious whether, and that was just normal standard fare for the prison that day.
That was the normal day stuff. It wasn't a holiday. That's just, I guess, your everyday. The only thing that was held back, some portions on Mondays don't have extra fruit.
So I would think, since we've never really heard great accolades about the menus at prisons, that it probably doesn't stand out as anything too awesome.
Probably right. I got to look up pictures of this when we get off because
it'd be good to have pictures.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today for 10% off your first month.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.